My name is Alde Ortega. I've been coming to Calvary Chapel, Philly since 2004. I got saved 35 years ago in Harvest Christian Fellowship in New York City with Pastor Mike Finizio. And I always like to tell the story, like Greg Laurie funded Pastor Mike to come to New York and open a church there. And I think it was because all those Calvary Chapel West Coast pastors just wanted to go visit New York. So when I got saved, it was the early days of the church, and we saw everybody. Chuck Smith, Raul Reese, Greg Laurie, Mike McIntosh. I mean, everybody came to New York. It was the hot spot, and it was great. And we got to hear some really wonderful, wonderful pastors. When I got saved, I really didn't know what I was going to do for a living. I had taught for 7 years before that, and I really didn't want to go back to teaching. And God opened the door really miraculously for me to start in the construction industry. And I started at the bottom of the construction industry, the lowest trade, demolition and asbestos abatement, and at the lowest rung. And I worked extensively during those 10 years with laborers, mostly union laborers. And then after that, God opened another miraculous door. I went to work for one of the largest international construction management firms, a firm called Lend-Lease. And it's a miracle how I got there and got to do some really wonderful, creative things. Worked with a lot of middle management people and some upper management people. And then the last 10 years, I was fortunate to work constructing new buildings in and around Manhattan, and worked with a lot of executives and developers. And the company I work for built a lot of buildings for Donald Trump. Don't cheer or boo. I don't know which one you're going to. But, you know, it was really unbelievable experience, and the wealth that I was able to work as a Christian in these environments with so many different people at so many different socioeconomic levels. So we're going to talk tonight about the Christian in the workplace. And I'm sure that if you look through the Bible carefully, you'll find that there's no doubt God calls us to an intimate relationship with Him. That's simple. That's clear. Everyone agrees with that, I'm sure. And God has prepared good works for us to do. And He wants us to join Him in His work in evangelizing and restoring every person in the world. I'm sure that's true and clear for everybody here. So what's our purpose at work then? Is that different? I don't think so. It's to bring glory to God. It's to evangelize. It's to bring people to Christ. So whether in 1 Corinthians, and I use a lot of verses here, so I had them printed out. I know that sometimes it's hard to just go all over the Bible, but you know, when you're doing a topical message, it's something that you want to grab the best verses, at least that relate to the message that you're giving. So in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Do it all for the glory of God. That sounds hard to do at work, I imagine, for many of you. So these sessions are intended to help you understand how to be a blessing at work. So today we'll discuss the biblical perspective of work, some guidelines that we can follow in the workplace. And then next week, session two, is to me more exciting, and it's very interactive. We'll be sitting in groups. We'll be brainstorming. People at the different tables will speak about what their thoughts are. And we're going to identify practical ways that you can represent Christ and express your faith in the workplace. So overall, the main goal is for us to better understand what God says about work, and then to be challenged, and not just challenged, but be deliberate. Have a plan about how you're going to represent him in the workplace. So I don't know if there's anybody here that works in full-time ministry or a Christian organization or a Christian environment. So it's easier for you, perhaps, to be able to express yourself and express your faith. But most of us, I imagine, work in the secular world, just like I did my entire career. So in the secular world, what does God expect from us there? How many of you here saw Kingdom Men Rising, the movie with Tony Evans, right? So that's a documentary film about what it means to be a real Christian man in today's society. Kingdom Men Rising, in that movie, Tony Evans challenges men to rise above what we have generally become, to lives of no more sitting on the sidelines, no more passivity, no more excuses. So he's calling us to action. And that's what we're going to be doing in these two sessions also. We're going to be calling you to action in the workplace. And I know for some of you, you're thinking, that's going to be really hard for me. I think we're going to talk about so many practical ways that you can do that, that that's going to dispel any fear or concerns that you have. You know, look, I said it before when I gave a brief overview of what I was doing in church a couple of times. On Sundays, right? Everybody puts their Christian on. They grab their Bibles, they take Christ, they go to church. Then Monday to Friday, we put on our work clothes, leave Christ home, and go to work. You spend more time at work, don't you, than you spend at church. And how are you going to evangelize at church? Pretty much everybody mostly there is saved, right? So work is a mission field. And it's really important for you to recognize that and to take Christ with you to work. So no matter what your current attitude is, what the things are that you do at work now, you could be holding Bible studies. Or maybe you're not doing anything at work and nobody even knows you're a Christian, right? That's possible too. So these sessions hopefully will motivate you to take one step, that's all, one step further in the direction of representing Christ appropriately in the workplace. So whether you're doing Bible studies or whether you're not doing anything, there is something else you could be doing. And we want to discover those things in these sessions. So as Tony Evans said, it's time for us to act, not stand by idly. We need to strive to be everything that God intended us to be and everything He already equipped us to be. And God wants you to be using all of the talents and skills and experiences that you have had already to represent Him appropriately. And I know a lot of you might be thinking, you know, nervously or anxiously about trying to do this at work. But remember, Almighty God is with us. You can't fail. You know, think about Moses. Remember when Moses found the burning bush? And he was told, after 40 years of being in the desert, shepherding, married, kids, pretty much had forgotten about Egypt. And God tells him, go back to Egypt and rescue my people out of Egypt. Now that, if God tells you that, then be anxious and be worried. All right? But He's not asking that of you. And the reality is that you need to be reminded that God only planned for Moses to be an instrument in the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt. He was terrified. He doubted he could do it. I can't talk. Bring my brother. Let him talk for me. God accommodated him. So God will accommodate you too. If you need some extra help, He'll put it there for you. But remember, you're not the deliverer. God is the deliverer. It's a huge difference. Takes that burden off of your shoulders. Remove some of that fear and concern and anxiety from your shoulders. In God's calling, He has a plan for you, but He never expects you to carry it out by yourself. He's going to pull it off. You just have to be willing. He simply wants you to be an instrument of action for Him. And that's why I'm telling you that you, at the end of these sessions, you need to be committed to take a step. It could be a baby step, that's okay. But you take a step, then God could take over. But if you're standing there still and you're not moving, you're like a ship in the middle of the ocean with the sail down. What happens? It just drifts. Doesn't go anywhere. But put that sail up and start moving, then you can steer. God can steer you. That's what He wants you to do. All He asks is that you give yourself to Him as a tool that He can pick up and use. Look, I understand every workplace has a different culture, different attitudes toward Christianity, toward your faith. Some of you might be blessed with an environment where it's easy and simple to talk about it. Others might face a very negative environment. But I'm telling you, there's still something you can do. So the focus is simply today, let's learn more about what the Bible says about work, your attitude at work, what God intends for you at work. You can strive. You can have ambition to reach the highest level of success. God gave you tools. God blessed you with certain skills, and He wants you to use those skills. And He's not against ambition. He's not against success. That's okay. He just wants you to maintain and even promote your faith. Don't lose your integrity along the way. That's what God demands of you. So we don't want you to put your work at risk. I definitely, if you're in a negative environment, I'm not suggesting you grab your Bible, you walk in on Monday and you thump your Bible on the owner's door and say, "You need to hear this." I don't think that's a good idea. So, and I'm certainly not promoting that. And each of you has to use discernment to really understand what is going to be your best approach at work. And there's a lot of simple ways. And we're going to talk about some today, but next week is when we're really going to get into practical things that you can do. And we're going to ask people to make commitments to do one of those things. So all of you know the parable of the talents, right? And this is just to emphasize to you how God wants you to strive to be excellent. When you look at the parable of the talents, He blessed those that multiplied the talents He gave them, right? And as long as our ambition is guided by faithfulness, humility, integrity, God will bless you. God will definitely bless you. So keep an open mind to what God has planned for you and trust Him to enable you to put that plan into action. So one of the things when I was starting to do these studies, and what really motivated me to do it is because throughout my career, I was always looking for places and people I could go to who would speak to me about being a Christian in the workplace and how I might be able to do that better than I was doing. And I thought I was doing okay until I saw Kingdom Men Rising. And then I was like, man, I missed the mark big time. Because if you're doing the things that Tony Evans wants you to do, this will be easy for you. But let me ask you a question, and not for you to answer it, but just think about it for a minute. Is your perspective of what the Bible says about work, is it a gift? Is it a curse? Is it both? You know, I was a little bit surprised when I started doing these studies that God intended work to be a blessing. He designed us for work, a gift, not a curse. And it's okay to be excited and motivated and strive for excellence at your jobs. It's okay to seek advancement in the workplace and to achieve all that God has equipped you for. So Genesis starts with a world that's empty, formless, and dark, and shows how God works to make it full. That's our first sign of God working, right? Right at the very beginning, He works to create the world. So God's work is purposeful, it's specific, and He's cultivating something. And it's this task that He invites you into. You see, the origin of man's work is in God's garden. And I'm not talking about after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate from the tree that was forbidden. I'm talking about before that in Genesis 1 and 2. God put man in paradise, right? And everything was wonderful. In Genesis 2:15, which was before the fall, the Bible says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." That was before the fall. That was the beginning of work. That was God's intention of work. Think about it this way. You're Adam. God builds this beautiful garden. Can you imagine what that garden might have looked like? I mean, I'm sure it was the most luscious, most beautiful garden there ever was. And God's first job for man is to take care of the garden. What was He going to do in the garden? He probably didn't have to water it, right? He probably didn't have to trim it. He probably just had to eat the fruit and enjoy it. Just don't eat from that tree, right? I mean, that was a great job. So was that job a blessing or a curse? That job was a blessing, man. That was God's intention for man. Then man messed it up, like we do all the time. No doubt about it. See, God created him to work, but he didn't expect, well, God knew, but he gave man the choice, and he didn't want man to eat from that fruit and then toil after that. He wanted work to be joyful and fruitful. In Genesis 3:17, God said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life." So it went from tending this garden, beautiful, freedom, no sin, no fault, perfect, the perfect job. How many people here have the perfect job? You see, after Adam ate from the forbidden tree, that means there'll never be another perfect job. So don't be shocked that your job's not perfect. Nobody's job is perfect. But God expects you to do the best you can do because you represent Him. So let's look at some verses in the Bible that talk about God's direction for us at work. And these are listed in the sheets that were given out to you. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "You should mind your own business." Maybe I should repeat that. "You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." Is there anything wrong with doing that at work, whether it's a place that is negative against your faith or not? Certainly not. It's never wrong at work to mind your own business. It's never wrong at work to work with your hands, and to work in a way that you will earn the respect of the people around you. That alone, people will come up to you and say, "Why do you work so hard? The boss is such a, you know, and he treats you this way, and this happens and that happens. Why?" And then the door's open for you to talk about your faith, because you're not doing it for them. Your working is unto the Lord. And listen, it's not easy. None of these things I'm telling you is easy. But as I said, we're going to put ourselves in a position to take a step to start moving in this direction. And I'm sure God is going to take you on a long journey. So do your job the best you can based on God's given abilities. And don't complain. Don't raise your hand. How many people here complain? Yeah. We complain about work. You know, I always say, like, look, if you're a Christian, and look, I'm not standing here saying I never complain. Trust me. I've complained with the best of them. But if you commiserate with your peers, you're just like them. You're not different. And we need to stand out and be different. And this verse tells us, mind your own business. Don't complain. Do your best to provide for yourself and your family, and don't be dependent on others. Now, there are people who need to depend on others for things, and that's okay. But if God has given you the ability for you to be independent. Earn your work, earn your pay, take care of your family. Remember, you represent Christ in the workplace. And you need to make sure that anybody looking at you, because they love, especially once they find out you're a Christian, don't they love to just find you doing something that, oh, and you say you call yourself a Christian? They love to find something to really attack you. So you need to be aware and deliberate. And people should notice that you have higher standards than others. You have more morals and ethics that others don't follow. You have an integrity. People can trust you. And a lot of times, people will become curious. So those of you that had an experience representing Christ in the workplace, when somebody's relative all of a sudden comes down with stage 4 cancer or something, how many of you have had the experience where they come to you, whether they're atheists or believers or not, and say, I know you talk to God. Please pray for my so-and-so. Yeah, several of you. Absolutely. Let me tell you, that's the cost of entry. If your peers who have a tragedy or a disaster in their life don't know to come to you and ask you to pray for them, you're not doing what you should be doing at work. Now, you don't have to be a Bible thumper, but if they know you pray, whether they pray or not, when they have an emergency, they're going to come ask you to pray. I love when an atheist comes and asks you to pray. Look, I don't really believe in God, but I know you talk to him. Wait, how does that work, you know? But they will. They'll come and ask you to pray. You know, the only way to do this is to depend on God, to know He's there to support you and to trust in His word. In Colossians chapter 3, it tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's not easy. And we know that not all bosses inspire us to work as hard as we can, to do everything we can at our jobs. But that's what God is suggesting we do. And you know what? The reward for working hard, it tells us right in this Bible, right in this verse, you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So it's worth it. That gift of inheritance is worth it for us to work hard and to receive it. In Titus chapter 2, it teaches us to show that we can be fully trusted, so that in every way we will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. So can you check that box? Do your peers and your bosses fully trust you? There's no harm against doing that in any environment. People around you should know they can trust you. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, it says, whoever walks in integrity walks sincerely. Again, this is about being trusted. Integrity is an essential characteristic of the Christian in the workplace. And next week, the two things we'll be doing is talking about the characteristics of a Christian in the workplace and the practical things you can do as a Christian in the workplace. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, humble yourselves. Humility, here it goes again. You know, that's such a hard thing for men, because God put this, He created us, so He put this pride in us, and it's contrary to humility. You know, somebody gets up in your face and yells at you or gets upset with you, your reaction is not to be humble and just take it, right? Your reaction is to stand up. But I tell you, it takes more of a man, especially a Christian man, to be humble in those circumstances. When somebody is abusing you, and I don't mean physically, God doesn't expect anyone to be stand there and take abuse, but to react in calmness. That's hard to do. And I'm telling you, it will also lead to success in the workplace, because you have the power when you're calm and they're upset. You're in control. They're not. You get upset, you're both out of control. So it's really, these biblical principles are principles for success as well as an employee, a worker, a businessman, as well as success as a Christian. But it says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, because you can't, humility doesn't come without God's help, that He may lift you up, exalt you in due time. Humility is another essential characteristic of the Christian. So ours is about a life lived for God. It can and should be also applied at work. The way we behave at work is our testimony. Our testimony is how we behave and act at work. So you know that saying, it says, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. That's really what you need to do at work. Who said that? Does anyone know? That was like St. Francis or something. St. Francis, yeah. So I love that saying. You know, that to me, if nothing else, you can do that through your actions at work. You people are going to get curious. People are going to ask you to pray for them. They're going to ask you, why are you different? Why are you smiling? You got to go do that terrible job today. He sent you to Oshkosh. He sent you to South Dakota. Well, I'm sorry if I insulted anyone from South Dakota. When I worked at Aramark, that was like the worst place to go. Because if you had that territory, every day you drove like umpteen hours just to get to the next site. So you'd leave your house on Monday. You wouldn't go home till Friday. It's like everything's so far away from each other. In Genesis, we read in chapter 1, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Listen, this isn't what I said. This is what God said. Let's make mankind in our image, in our likeness. What did I say before is the first thing we read about God in the Bible? Him working, creating. So if He's making us as in His image, He designed us for work. Among many other things, but He also designed us for work. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. I say it again, God created us in His image, and one of the things in His image is work. He designed us for work. You see, work fits in God's plan for us. So, on a practical level, does God call people to a specific job or task? I'm curious, how many people here, either through reading scripture or prayer, heard from God about what job and what career they should pursue specifically? Anybody? One, two, three, four. Four or five, maybe six. That's not how most of us get our jobs, right? We don't usually hear directly from God. As a matter of fact, when you first graduate college or high school and you go to work, you don't even really know what you want to do most of the time. So what happens? It's more likely that God guides us. But God gets us to the jobs we're in. Don't think that you're in this job and God had nothing to do with it. He had a lot to do with it. You may not have seen his fingerprints along the way, but just because he didn't specifically say, go work there, he opened doors, he closed doors, he gave you certain skills, he gave you certain interests. He introduced you to certain people. You grew up in certain places knowing certain people. You started jobs and part-time jobs perhaps, and you met people, and your network started to grow. Well, God opened all those doors, and he put some trusted friends in your path, I hope, and maybe some mentors along the way that guided you and gave you some advice about employment decisions. And then, listen, his own voice, the Word, he speaks to us there. And many of us were guided through things that we read in Scripture. So wherever God leads us, he wants us to find meaning and purpose there. Think about that for a minute. Where you are, he wants you, God wants you to find meaning and purpose right where you are. Until you move. And if you move, he wants you to find meaning and purpose right where you go. He created us, and we're in a place of his choosing. He allowed us to get there. And he'll lead us to another place if he wants to. But regardless of where you are, from a biblical perspective, God wants you to find meaning and purpose there. And I'm telling you from a career perspective, I don't care what you're doing, you can learn and grow wherever you are. And you can use skills you learn in the job you're in today for the job you're going to have tomorrow. And some of you are in different parts of your career, and maybe you're ending your career, maybe you're not looking for another job, but that's okay. But think back, for those of you, if you had an earlier job, even part-time jobs during college, you learn things that you can apply no matter where you go. So take advantage of the things you can learn where you are, because they will help you be successful later on. And find meaning and purpose right where you are, or you're going to be miserable. You will definitely not be happy. Find meaning and purpose right where you are. He wants us to be fruitful at work. So why do we work? Anybody want to tell me why we work? Why do you work?
Shelter and food.
Shelter and food for you and your family, right? So we work so we can feed our families, provide shelter for us and our families. So the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, from a negative perspective, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. But listen, we work from a practical perspective. We work to make money, to use it, to provide shelter and food and other things and opportunities for our kids and other things that we do. How many people here think your work, and don't raise your hands, please, because I don't want others to feel uncomfortable, but how many of you think your work is valuable? Like, really valuable? I think that if you look closely in Scripture, every job is valuable. And like, think about it this way. So do you think that in the job you're in today, you can speak to God and thank Him for the job and for allowing you to work there and to help you bless others and help make a better world? Do you think about your job that way? You should. I don't care what you're doing. You're blessing somebody. Think about it this way. What about your car? Think about your car. Did it just like appear magically one day in your driveway or parked outside your apartment or something? No. Somebody had to design it. Did that person bless you now that you have that car and you use it? Unless it's a lemon, right? Then maybe not. But anyway, someone designed it, right? Someone built it. Someone delivered it to the showroom or to somewhere you bought the car. All those people did that job. The guy on the assembly line who every day puts the same 3 bolts in the door, every day, door after door, car after car, he blessed you because you're driving that car and the door opens and closes and doesn't fall off. So find how your job is blessing others. I don't care what you're doing. And if you have a challenge doing that, talk to me later on. And if I can't think of something right away, by next week I'll come back and tell you how you're blessing people. But I'm telling you, every job that you're in, God has had a part in it, and He wouldn't let you be there unless you have the opportunity to bless others and to honor Him. What about rest? What about work and rest? I know a lot of us have family members who complain that we work too much, work too many hours, think about work too often, identify with work. Hi, Aldi, how you doing? Who are you? Oh, I'm a construction manager. No, not really, but a lot of us identify with our jobs, right? And Jesus calls us to work. He said, like I said before, He designed us to work. That was one of the things He designed into us. He demands that we give it all we have to represent Him appropriately, but not to burn out, not to destroy our families because of work. Even God rested on the 7th day. I know that's the most obvious one of all, but it's the most poignant, I think. Even God rested on the 7th day. He wants us to rest, and He wants us to recharge. Not to take a break from doing work, not to take a break from serving necessarily, but so that we can have energy to serve. You know, I always think of the example on a plane when they tell you if there's an emergency and the oxygen comes down, right? The oxygen mask. What do they tell you to do? Put your mask on first. Because if you don't have oxygen, you don't have the energy to help others. If you're busy putting the mask on your children or your neighbor or whoever's sitting next to you, and all of a sudden you run out of oxygen, it's over. You can't help anybody. So biblically, rest is the same. It's to recharge, to energize, right? In Mark chapter 6, verse 30 and 31, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. They were probably tired. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. That happens to us at work sometimes, right? What? It's 3:30, I didn't even eat lunch yet. And then you say to your boss, can I go home early? I work through lunch. I don't know. But anyway, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So think about the ways that you need to rest and how important it is for you to rest. And don't ignore the word. That's a good way to rest. Read a couple of Bible scriptures, do a devotion, say a little prayer. And listen, you know, I'm not advocating that you become a Bible thumper, holy roller at work. I don't think that that'll work. But it's important for us to make sure that we represent our faith appropriately. We know there's only one God Almighty. He's over all life, not just certain parts of it. And that includes work. Look, I know work is hard. Life is hard. But remember, God is involved in every aspect of your life, including work. He's made His Holy Spirit available to help us in everything we do, including work. And if God's in our work, it's for our good and the good of others. So there's another very famous quote. This one's, pray as though everything depended on God, work as though everything depended on you. And that was, who knows who that was? That was, I think, St. Francis of Assisi. Now, these are, you know, saints that, you know, but anyway, that's how we know them, right? So next week, we're going to further discuss integrity, humility, and other characteristics we should develop in our lives. We will also spend a lot of time, most of the time, identifying practical ways to represent Christ and express your faith at work. Remember, God has allowed for you to be where you are at this moment in the workplace. You didn't get there by accident. It may seem that way, but God allowed it to be. God wants you to use whatever abilities you have, whatever resources He's given you, and He wants you to be a change agent for His kingdom. And He wants you to do that at work. You need to trust the Holy Spirit to guide and empower you throughout every minute of your day at work. Now, am I saying you should be praying every minute of your day at work? No, I don't know about you, but I would get up and pray every morning, do a devotion. I usually did two devotions, very short ones, 10 minutes for all of that. And sometimes I'd get to work and things just one right after the other, and I didn't pray maybe the rest of the day some days. But I trusted that prayer to start my day, I asked God to be with me in every decision I made, and I trusted that He was. And then sometimes I look back and say, I know He wasn't in that one. I know He didn't want me to say that. I know He didn't want me to do this. It was a daily struggle, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. Just 5 minutes of your time in the morning to set the tone for the day, and then trust that God will be with you. And if you can remember to pray before important decisions, important actions at work, fine, do it. But if you don't, trust that God is there with you. So think about these things, and during the next week, I encourage you to think and pray about making a commitment to include God in your daily life at work. And we'll talk about that next week, many, many different ways you can do that. I'll be asking you to make commitments. We'll be looking for some way to be accountable to those commitments, and it's time to not sit by idly anymore. And whatever you're doing at work, we could do one thing more. And like I said, some of you may already be doing Bible studies, and some of you may be doing nothing. For any of you, there's another step you can take. And that's what we're going to ask next week for you to make a commitment. So that's it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to gather as men who love you and want the best that you have for us, Lord. We pray that you would be with us in this coming week to remind us to ponder the things that we talked about tonight, to prepare for next week, Lord, to bless us at work, bless us with the success for all of the things that you've given us, all the gifts you've given us, to be able to utilize them to the fullest extent. And Father, we pray that you would be with us to open doors for others to come to know you through our actions, our behavior, our attitudes. Father, we ask you to bless this evening. Grant everybody a safe travel home this evening. And Lord, we thank you so much for being in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.